Welcome to How to Build a Tent. The show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. I hope you had a blessed week, got to spend time with the family, with the church family, and got to minister and be ministered to. Also hope that you guys had a great time watching those interviews. If you have anyone that you would like me to interview in mind, let me know. I'd love to get some ideas of who I can interview next or topics of experts you want me to interview about a certain topic or career field, business, startup, mid-level. We have some more interviews that I'm going to be lining up that I'm really excited about. And hopefully all the technical stuff will all work out. It's a learning and progress for me. And I appreciate you guys checking it out and just staying tuned to the show and being supportive of the show, sharing all those shows, sharing. It's been really a blessing to see this show grow. So thank you so much for that. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, just like you see on this mug, and you'll get this mug for free. And then you'll get a whole bunch of benefits that come with the membership from the Fight Laugh Feast Network, exclusive content, other merchandise, discounts on merchandise, depending on all the tiers, you can check that out. But most of all, you're coming alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, and you get to contribute to what the Lord is doing. And there's just nothing better in this world to do that, not just with the Fight Laugh Feast Network, but in everything that the Lord's doing. The more that you can contribute what God has given you to helping doing what the Lord wants to do, I mean, that's what you should be doing, right? There's nothing better in this life. There's no better way to invest your resources that God's given you to be a better steward than to do that with you and your family. So if you're not doing that stuff, pray to find out what God wants you to do with all of your resources for the kingdom of God. So today I want to talk about, before we get into it, well, I'll just tell you, I'll do a little teaser about what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about MMT, which is Modern Monetary Theories. I'm going to talk about what it is. It's gaining popularity because the leftists, the socialists, got to figure out a way to justify all of their spending that is just irrational and illogical, doesn't make sense. So they have to come up with some way to justify the spending that they want. And that's what this is basically. So we're going to talk about where it comes from, the lineage of it. I got a really cool graph from Bloomberg, which isn't, you know, a super conservative site. Bloomberg is actually progressive. He may be a crony capitalist, is probably a better way to say that. So I'm going to check that out. And then we're going to talk about just kind of where it's come from, where it's at, kind of the key tenets of it, and then why I think it's really dangerous and that we need to be aware, because I can see a lot of tricks coming down the way of getting conservatives to buy into it. Because there seems to be somewhat of similarities between some of the conservative tenets, some of the current conservative libertarian principles that we believe, and what they are pushing. And I don't want us to fall for it by saying, oh, yeah, I agree with those things. Let's just do that. And then we're really just ushering in a crazy time where I think inflation will come and big spending and more spending. I mean, big spending. We're already at big spending, but even greater spending than that. And I wanted to say before I told you what we're going to get into today is that you can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, or you can email me at howtobuildatent. Love to hear from you. All of you that have reached out, appreciate it. All of you that have sent gifts to me in response to just the hard time that we've been having with my wife and I going through this miscarriage. I really appreciate you guys so much. And I just feel so blessed to be able to be in front of a camera, to be in front of a microphone for you to hear and listen, and to just participate with this and just be part of our lives as I share the things that God's shared with me in life, in Christianity, in business, in all my startup ventures and all those things. So I just love you guys. I pray for you guys all the time. And I hope that you truly are becoming more successful in whatever God has called you to do. All right, so this is a Bloomberg article, and I will put it in the show notes if you want to check it out. It is really interesting. It's not, and the article actually is not very like negative about it. It's kind of more neutral and maybe even more pro-MMT, that is the modern monetary theory. So I would really recommend you checking it out. Now I'm going to throw this chart up here, and you can see these are all the different thoughts and economists and their lineage of where they come from. You can see the labor theory, the Marxist theory, the monetary theory on the bottom in the blue, and they highlight where all of the different roots of this comes from. And then the very far right, the bottom, Molsler, Mitchell. Mitchell is a guy who just created, or a lady, I don't know who. It could be a guy or a girl. Is the name that is really a proponent of this modern monetary theory, Ray Forrester Kelton. And so it's starting to pick up some steam and support from some, not just the blogs where it kind of started but in the schools, but also a lot of the economic professors, not a lot, but some economic professors. And that is where why I want to talk about it, because it's starting to become more of a mainstream thing. And it's interesting because you look at the top and you think, okay, well, if I'm not that, then I'm not one of these in the blue boxes. I'm in the white. I'm a neoclassical, maybe, or a supply sider. And I was just trying to think about it. Like, am I a supply side economist? And that's associated with the Reagan era and the Laffer and Art Laffer and the Laffer curve and cutting taxes. And I definitely think that we should cut taxes. Taxes shouldn't be anywhere near to where they are today. I'm definitely a conservative economist, kind of, not that I'm an economist, but I ascribe to the principles of a conservative economist. But then they say, like, a supply side economist or someone who believes in supply side economics is someone who believes that just creating supply is what is going to create and stimulate the economy. At least that's like the simplest way I would put it. And I just don't necessarily agree with that. I think it is a demand. We need demand more than we need supply, and the supply will follow. But I can see how you would cut taxes and that would allow businesses to create things and stimulate the economy. But I don't think it's in and of itself of just creating something to be bought. But there is the demand. And even when a company gets a tax break, well, then they need to invest and grow and build things, which creates demand because you need employees. So there becomes a demand for hiring people. There becomes a demand for raw resources. And that is how I see it, really. Tax cuts and all the things that supply side people believe in, purport, will do, I believe in too. But I don't think it's a supply side thing, but I think it's actually driven by demand. So I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a supply sider, but I believe in tax cuts and I believe in freedom and not letting the big government intervene and interfere. I don't want them in our lives, involved in our businesses. But again, I wouldn't say it's supply side. That is, the supply of products is what stimulates the economy. I think it is demand. Demand, again, is the desire and the ability to obtain something. And how do you get that? How do you get the ability? You get a job. How do you get a job? You increase, incentivize investment through not having, you know, constricting monetary and fiscal policy and not having tons of regulations. And then there's, of course, there's gonna be up and downs of that. But for the most part, I believe that just the economy will take care of itself and go through adjustments. So that is my little sidetrack on supply side economics. But as we can see, the only thing that you need to know, or the thing that should concern you the most about modern monetary theory, is looking at the foundation. And that is one of the most important things. Now, I am definitely don't agree with a lot of Keynesian theories that he had, and especially to this day. And I really can't blame him in some respects, because he was in a different era. And just like you can't really judge different cultures from, you know, 100, 200, 1,000 years ago by the standards of our culture today. Not that values change or morals change or ethics change or right and wrong changes, but just like some of the cultural things. And it's easy to judge past cultures, like, oh, how could they have done that way? Well, it was 1,000 years ago and it was a different time. So too with economists, I don't think you can necessarily judge them by today's standard, like, oh, that guy's an idiot. He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about because his theory doesn't apply today. Well, it was a completely different world, and mainly because of globalization and how much intertwined and connected economies are today. It's just completely different. And I've said it before, so I won't harp on it too long, that Keynesian economics, in my opinion, does not work because it is counting on a closed system of a country to be able to dictate everything on its own. And we know today, from seeing our investments when we get bad news in other countries, that our country's inputs on how well the economy does is not controlled by that country itself. But there's many different inputs that impact and create ups and downs of an economy. besides what the country itself is doing. So I was saying before that this theory, the MMT, I'm just going to call it that, but you know that I mean modern monetary theory, the MMT started with just some blogs and some colleges like the University of Missouri in Kansas City. And there's two points that I wanted to touch on this is don't underestimate blogs. Now, there are like the blogs that no one gets attention to, but there are a lot of major blogs. And there's something that we have done as conservatives, we as people with common sense and logic, we underestimate people's theories and the words of people in print and audio as just crazy, and we dismiss it, and like that's never going to happen. And in history, I feel like we have seen that happen over the last 100 years, where something crazy has been stated and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so ridiculous, and we dismiss them. But then 10 or 15 years down the line, we see it come to pass, and we're starting to see it with this. So MMT still has not gotten as much following and support, but I don't want us to discount it and think that we can just ignore it and it'll go away. But we really need to pay attention to it, fight against it, call it out for its absurdities, because it's going to be a way, a justification, a foundation for things like the Green New Deal, where Democrats can spend, liberals and progressives can spend more and more money and take more of our freedoms away. And that is the dangerous thing about this. And then the second thing is, even in the Midwest, like Kansas City, colleges are ruined. The colleges, no matter where they are, even in conservative states, have become havens, manifestations or infestations of liberalism, Marxism. And they are dangerous, and we shouldn't discount them. And we shouldn't think that, oh, because I'm in Kansas City, that my kids are going to be okay in college. Like, you really need to pay attention and be aware of that. And you know my thoughts on colleges. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to slap my knee so loudly. And then the last thing I want to say about this is as far as the colleges go, is that this theory is starting to go into textbooks. And the first one is in Macroeconomics by Mitchell, like I mentioned earlier. It was published in February of this year. So we're starting to see this theory being articulated, taught, and indoctrinated into our kids. And I would say then that we would probably expect to see this start becoming more mainstream, probably as in the media as soon as next couple years, because now it's going to be start being taught in schools, taken legitimately in colleges, and it's going to be something that the 2020 candidates that are socialists are really going to be using and citing as support for their policies. So I think this is going to be coming right around the corner, and we need to understand it and be able to articulate and fight against it. Now, to basically sum it up, this is what the modern monetary theory states. Countries that own their own currency do not need to worry about debt because they can always print more money. You don't need to worry as a country about debt because you'll never go bankrupt if you have your own money. It's like an unlimited supply of money. You can just print more. And the only thing you have to worry about is inflation. You only have to worry about too much money chasing too few goods. So as long as the demand for labor, for production is increasing, it doesn't really matter how much you owe, because you can just print more money. And I hope like you just are not like trying to like overthink this too much, and you just step back and you forget about it from an economic standpoint. You take that economics hat and you put it on the side, and then you pick up your common sense hat and put it on, and that's really all you need to realize the danger of this. Let me ask you, has there ever been anything free in life ever? No, right? There's always a cost. So when you see a theory coming around saying, yeah, there's no consequences for your actions, there's no consequences for your spending, you can just print more money. Has that ever worked in life? Is that something that ever works in your households, in your business, anywhere? Oh yeah, you could just make more of it. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't make common sense. And again, the left wing is attracted to this because, hey, we can give you whatever you want to win elections because we'll just print more money. And it's okay because the colleges say it's okay. The professors, the economists, there's a textbook that says it. Oh, and all you young people that listen to blogs, look at all these blogs that say you can just print as much money as you want as long as there's not inflation and you'll be good. So we can spend as much, you can get as much free stuff as you want. Vote for me. And this is where it's going to catch the left and going to catch people that don't know anything about economics, that doesn't have experience in the real world. This is going to sound really good. And you may be even saying, oh yeah, you're right. What's wrong with printing more money? And I'm just sorry. If you know anything about the history of economies and history of countries and printing of money, it's never gone well. And it's not because of necessarily inflation. It's because the lack of faith in the currency, especially because we all live in a fiat world where gold isn't the backing of our currency. What's the backing of our currency? It's confidence. It's the belief that the currency is going to be valuable. There's going to be demand for it. And when you can print as much as you want, the price is going to go down. And when people believe that money is just going to be continually printed, then where's the value? That's like the common, it's economics 101. When there's an infinite supply of something, then the value is instantly gone. But when there's a scarcity, that is when the prices are increasing and when you need your currency to be worth something, or that is when the inflation comes around. So there's just so many angles on this that are just absurd. But okay, so getting back to the tenets. Now, this is the interesting thing, and I want you to understand it. They don't necessarily say that deficits are good. They're not saying it. So they're kind of breaking away from the Keynesian view, and they're kind of breaking away from the traditional liberal view where there's nothing wrong with debts and it's okay. No, they're not saying that necessarily. They're just saying you can print money to get rid of those deficits. And you'd be like saying, well, that's just as bad. And yeah, okay, but that's there's a subtle difference there. They also are not really concerned about taxing the rich. They're not really worried about it. They're more worried about printing money. So it's not so much about a tax thing. And then again, because they are leftists and they're liberals and progressives, they're saying, oh no, it's okay to tax the rich for income inequality issues. And that's really fascinating because that is the whole reason for taxing the rich. It's a Marxist ideology. Again, we saw in this chart where it's a foundation of Marxism, and that's all the liberals talk about when they start talking about classes, class warfare, right? It's the rich against the poor, and we got to tax the rich to make it fair because they did something wrong and they're evil and they, you know, all that stuff. So it's okay to do that. It's a little shout out to the Marxist, but it doesn't really matter because you can just print more money. It's not, taxes aren't the solution. And that is, you know, that sounds kind of good, but that's really, again, it's just the devil's in the details in this in a lot of ways. So it's not required for the government to pay for the spending because you can just print your money. And they do think, though, that the large debts can lead to inflation again. And so they're not necessarily saying you need to run budget deficits, but you do need to pay for it, and you can pay for it simply by printing money. And then this is one of the last things that they say is that we as a society, as people who are economists and study economies, we haven't come to terms yet with that idea that we have left the gold standard. And you don't need to worry about how much you print because we don't have the gold standard. So currency, basically they're saying, is fiat currency means nothing. So what does it matter if you have 10 of it versus one of it? You can have 100 of it. It doesn't matter. It's not tied to anything. And now some of the conservatives are like, you're right, it doesn't mean anything. But you have to understand why there is a demand for something. Again, it's the willingness and the ability to buy. It doesn't necessarily have to mean it has intrinsic value in it. It means that there's demand for it. So if you print 1,000 of something and there's only 10 people that want it and they only need one each, well, the price is going to come way down, regardless if it's of any value. But if there's only one of something and there's 10 people that want it, even if it's worthless in and of itself, like it's a piece of paper, but maybe it has a beautiful poem on it, it's not worth anything, right? But the demand for that one thing by 10 people is going to drive the price way up. Like, art is a perfect example of that. A painting is worth the materials that it is painted on. and maybe some labor that was put into it. But there is some more value in it for other reasons than what it is actually intrinsically worth. And that's what you kind of have to look at currency like nowadays, is it's not about the value of it. And I think that is totally what is discounted in this MMT theory in economics. Now, I wanted to go through, let's see, oh man, gosh, we are going way over. Okay, so here's some quick dangers of why I want you conservatives to be wary of this, because they will have some principles that kind of seem good and conservative and something we can come together and partner with. And this is how I see them in the future trying to trick us and buying into this theory of economics. And the first thing is they're not pushing taxes on the rich, which is good. We don't need higher taxes, and they're not going to claim to need higher taxes. Two, that deficits matter. Okay, yeah, we agree, deficits do matter, but they are saying because of inflation, and they're not accounting for interest rates at all, which is the cost of money, right? Interest rates are the cost of money, the price of money. They don't think there's a price to money. They think it's an arbitrary thing, but we know that's not true because people that invest need a return on their investment. They need to get interest back, and that's, you know, the whole bond system. And then they reject the idea that economies should be steered by interest rates. And then, like, so yeah, hey, the Fed shouldn't be manipulating the interest rate. They need to stop that. We can agree with that tenet. But then they say, well, they should just print as much money as we need by the government based on how much we spend. And we're like, oh, that's a little detail that we can disagree on. But see, so I could totally see them saying, like, yeah, let's attack the Fed. Let's get the Fed out of control, out of the driver's seat. And when the conservatives jumping on, and I'm so scared of that. Just be weary that they are going to use those things to manipulate us into supporting it, but they're really meaning and they're really intending to do something that's going to devastate the economy. And those are just a few of the areas. And then finally, this is another trap, and this isn't so much for conservatives, but just for the people that vote to get things, is it's going to allow more free stuff to be promised. Free education, loan forgiveness, free healthcare, free food, free rent, universal income. These things are all going to be possible in the short term with the ability to just print money. But in the quick near term after that, whenever is after the short term, there is going to be devastating consequences for it. And I hope, again, we keep the practical hat on all the time when we talk politics, when we talk economics, when we think about business, and that just because it sounds good, we got to think common sense and think there's nothing in life that's free. There's always a cost by somebody, even governments that print money. And the consequence, the major driver of this, is when you feel like you can print as much money as you want, the confidence, the desire to own that currency is going to go way down, because there's always going to be enough. You're going to go put your money in another currency that is far more scarce and is not being printed, and that is going to have far much more value than a country that just prints infinite amounts of money. So that is what MMT is. Research it. Check out the link. They'll get into some more details. If you have any questions about it, please reach out to me, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, Matt, at howtobuildatent.com. Now let's go out there and be successful together. God bless.